Welcome, everybody, to the Real BS Show. Almost forgot who we were. Dang. well, we don't do retakes here. We do.
No.
Well, instead of BSing everybody, we got a special treat today. We're going to interview a very famous person from Kane, Pennsylvania. He builds tow trucks. Not the little ones. He builds the big ones.
The big ones.
The giant ones. And, well, his name's Derek. Derek D'Angelo. You want to say hello?
Hello.
Hello, there he is.
Welcome, see? Derek. Welcome.
He's an expert. say hey, Seth. Hey. I mean, you got to say hello.
I already said hello.
Oh, did you?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, anyways, why don't you listen to a little bit of music? We'll get all set up and ready to go, and then at the end of this, we'll dig in. And thanks for joining us. Folks, we're back, and we're back with Derek D'Angelo. He's the founder of Custom Built LLC in Kane, Pennsylvania. That'll get you a starting point. And what he builds is tow trucks, and I mean big ones.
Not the small ones.
And the most beautiful ones I've ever seen. And I've been across the country several times, many times.
Sheltered life, obviously.
Yeah, right. Oh. So what I'd like to do is introduce you to Derek D'Angelo. Say hello, Derek.
Hello, how are you?
There he goes.
And these are the tow trucks that deal with the semis and bigger vehicles on the highway.
Correct.
Anything big, I guess.
Right. Not the small ones.
But he gave us a tour through the factory, what I call it, the factory. And it's just impressive. Everything. Well, why don't you explain all that? I mean, where did you get this idea?
Well, the concept came, originally we had a body shop started in 1977. That transgressed into a towing service that kind of went hand in hand with the body shop. Probably it must have been about 1990, I'm going to guess, right around that era. We saw start to see a decline in accidents in cars. Now, if you think about it, they've done everything they can to make cars safer.
Right.
You know, which is eventually going to reduce the amount of accidents. So we saw a steady decline. I think we had 10 people in the body shop one time. We were down to 3 or 4 by the time we hit the 2000s.
Never thought of that. Never.
So we started to supplement body shop work by actually buying some tow trucks, used ones, which was kind of a passion too because we enjoyed the towing business. and started to refurbish these and make them more modernized.
Right.
And then we eventually got to a point where you couldn't buy a decent tow truck and make any money on it. And the concept came, hey, if we can fix them, we can build them.
Right.
And we actually addressed this as a, not as a part-time venture, but as a full-time venture. Mm. You know, we had every intention of closing the body shop and progressing into this at some point, you know. We didn't realize until we did a business plan how big of an industry it actually is. The heavy tow truck sales is about $650 million a year.
Wow.
And there's only four of us in North America that do it. So you can see there was a big piece of the pie there.
That's counting you.
Right.
Right. So.
Yeah. And we're the smallest of all four, you know.
Huh.
So, we saw some potential there, you know, something new. And, you know, and living in a small community like Kane, which I'm sure you guys are from a small community too, you've seen a decline in industry and jobs.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yep, yep.
You know, I kind of addressed it with, I kind of want to go out with a bang. You know, I want to leave something behind.
Right.
And it's not that I want my picture on a building or my name on a building.
You're
going
to make a statue.
No statues. I just wanted something, you know, that just carried the name. My dad worked in this facility for 30 years. That's what brought us to this town was this facility. It was owned by Stackpole Company at the time. So there's a real passion for the building itself, and there's a passion for the town. And that kind of bred with the whole concept. You know, we run a 4 10-hour-day shift here. We're very family-oriented. We don't penalize our employees for time off if it involves anything to do with family. You know, we encourage guys to leave early if their kids got a soccer game or a baseball game. So we've kind of addressed a whole different work atmosphere, a whole different work ethic.
Wow. That's great.
To try to promote those type of things. You know, and some of it's to attract employees, and some of it's just to try to give something back.
Right.
You know, the town's been very good to me over the years. I've made a good living here.
Right.
You know, didn't get rich, don't care to get rich, but, you know, have been able to provide some jobs, make a decent living, build a nice home, you know, raise 2 children. I have 2 grandchildren now, and they're all here in Kane, which, you know, a lot of people can't say that they've got their whole family there with them.
Right.
You know, that's a real blessing. They all work here. Daughter-in-law, son, granddaughter's here every day before she goes to school. She's 8 now. The grandson's probably, about 2 months, I think. Mm. So he's just a tiny guy, but we'll bring him up quick. It won't take long.
Right. Well, that's, you know, to me, that's amazing. I mean, so when you first started, did you start building small tow trucks, or what was the first, what, do you remember your first truck?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there's a picture on the wall. Right.
Oh, wow. I see. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's not small.
We never wanted to make small ones. We did build 30 small ones for a customer in Canada at one time. We didn't find it real profitable, and we opted not to do it any longer after that. So, I don't know. Did we ever give you a tour of the original factory?
Yeah, I was over there. That was a year ago.
Yeah.
It was over there during the reunion.
Yeah, so we...
In fact, another year from now, you may be part of the family.
I should be adopted by now.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
You got my invite.
the first factory we bought was a old silk mill.
Right, on Main Street.
There. Yeah, it was about 30,000 square feet, you know, and as when we bought that, we probably had 2 or 3 employees. So we walked in this building thinking, oh, my goodness, look at all this room.
Right, right.
It was less than 10 years and we outgrew the building.
Yeah. Wow.
And we were in the process of getting prices to do a big addition because we had some land there. We were going to do a big addition when this facility actually came up, which I didn't think it was going to become available because of some other issues with it as far as the DEP and things go.
Right.
So ended up that
environmental.
Everything kind of fell into place that we had the opportunity to buy it that I never thought would ever happen. So it's really been a godsend, you know, that this has worked out the way that it has.
I remember my daughter telling me she was working for environmental something.
ER&R.
Yeah, yep. Over in Edinburgh.
Yep, good people.
And when she told me that, I said, you know, here you guys were talking to each other on the phone. I never
knew who I was talking to until I put a face to it. That was kind of neat.
I told her, I said, geez, that's Derek. I know him. You know, he's, wow, that was pretty amazing. Small world. I
mean. It is a small world, too.
But, yeah, I remember being over there you know, it was impressive, but you came over here. Of course, there wasn't really anything going on yet. It was still in its infancy, I guess.
Well, this building
was a mess.
Messy. This building had been abandoned for 13 years. So,
oh, wow.
So picture that.
Yeah.
You know, and surprisingly, it had a good skeleton. It held up well. You know, I always liked that show on TV, What Happens After People Are Gone.
Yeah.
You know, you could see that beginning here.
Yeah,
you could see the trees starting to grow out of the foundations.
And the grass poking up to the cement.
Where it shouldn't be. And,
right.
You know, so it was a bit of a challenge to come in and start to clean
that
stuff up.
Well, usually it's the roof that goes first, you know. And then,
and believe it or not, most of the roofs were pretty good because they were rubber roofs and they were installed decent, you know. So we fared pretty well there. Did learn a lot about fixing rubber roofs, though.
Yeah. Well, it's a... You know, tow trucks don't work out. You can
I'll do rubber roofing. There you go.
Okay, see, where were we? Okay, so you're over on Main Street. So then, well, by the looks of that picture, that's a 30-ton truck.
Correct.
Yeah.
So and how long is that, you think, roughly?
Well, just under 40 feet.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Again, that's not small.
Which is the standard length.
Right. Now, that was for a customer?
No, actually, we built that one on spec to sell it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
And I think I ran that truck in my fleet because I was still towing back then.
Right.
I ran that truck in my fleet for probably about a year before we sold it.
So that's where you learned all about, because to me, a tow truck, when I see them out west pulling these trucks up out of these mountain passes and stuff, there's got to be some training there. There's got to be some, you know.
It takes a unique person to do it.
To figure it out. You look at it and you know about what you got to do.
Everything's different. So, you know, it's not the average. A lot of people can't figure it out. You know, you got to have the right guy to do it.
Right, right. So you were figuring that stuff out before you started building.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we towed for over 20 years.
Yeah, see, so you never did any big semis or anything. You just did.
Oh, no, we did heavy-duty towing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I never had the equipment that I'm putting out today. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
You know, my customers have stuff that I never could afford.
Right, right. Right. So when it comes to, okay, so then you built this first truck. Do you remember who you sold it to?
Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, I even bought it back. I have it sitting at the lot. It was serial number 001.
Like they do baby shoes, you're going to plate it with gold? Or
I don't know. I'm thinking about making a museum someday, or maybe they'll make it after I'm gone.
Yeah, so right.
They can put my bronze statue inside that bed. How's that sound?
Yeah. But from there, how did you design? I mean, where did design come from? Because you're designing your own trucks, right?
Correct.
Mean, you're building everything here. Every last detail.
You got to figure there's three other manufacturers out there that build tow trucks.
Right.
Okay. We looked at all the different manufacturers and said, what's the good points?
Right.
What's the bad points?
Right.
And we tried to correct those on what we built because everybody has good ideas.
Right.
But not all ideas are good. So we tried to steal the best of everything. The second thing we tried to do is we tried to keep it simple. Because I don't care who builds it, it's going to break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how easy is it going to be to repair? You know, and from years in the body shop, when I was tearing things apart and putting back together, I'm thinking I'd like to strangle the engineer that designed this. Because he didn't design it to fix it.
Right, right.
You know, so those are the concepts that we tried to get into. Let's keep it simple. You know, let's make it affordable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't spend $20,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month on advertising like the big guys do.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can make affordable trucks.
Right.
You know, and my actual, I guess, the thing that I strive for, I like to see the most, I'd like to see every towing company in the country be able to afford to buy a new tow truck.
Right.
Not have to drive. You know, some of the smaller companies are forced to drive old, worn out, you know, high maintenance,
right,
stuff like that. Where, you know, we'd love to see that they'd have that ability to step up to the next level.
And isn't it so that a lot of their insurance is going up as well? Because that's actually one of the things. I just came back from Virginia. My brother was talking about this. He's an insurance agent. And he was saying that insurance for tow truck companies is going up. And so their expenses are being cut out with their bottom line. And there you go.
Yep. That's tough. And every state's different. Like the state of state of New Jersey is almost a nightmare to get insurance, but other states it's not so bad. You know, I really wish that the government would intervene at some point and get the insurance industry straightened out just a little bit because it's really not fair.
Right.
You know, but that's a whole different subject. I don't even want to go there.
Yeah, politics.
That's a rough one.
So the tow truck. So you started. So the first pile of trucks, let's say, this first trucks you were making were 30-tonners?
Pretty much everything we made right off the bat was a 30-ton.
And then eventually you took in the ideas that you liked, ones you didn't like, improved upon them, and started drawing or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, how you had to engineer these bigger trucks.
That was a kind of unique story, too, there. I had a kid that worked for me in high school. His name was Jody Alio. Very good welder. Just a really good kid. Hell of a musician. You'd love to meet him.
Yeah.
Self-taught.
Yeah.
But he was living in Pittsburgh, and I would run into him at Pirate games occasionally, and we kept in touch. Yeah. And I ran to his grandfather one day, and I said, "You think Jody's ready to come back home yet?" Because, you know, a lot of people leave and end up coming back.
Well,
and he said, "I'm
guilty of that."
He said, "You'll never get him back." I said, "Don't ever say never."
Yeah.
And I called him up. I said, "Jody, I got a concept here. I said, I want to start building tow trucks." He actually helped me build one of my first ones years ago that was not a complete build, but some stuff we had done to it. And he said, "Yeah, I am ready to come home." So I gave him a pretty lucrative offer to come back and be the ground floor on it. It took us a year, him and I, to build the first one.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, we pretty much documented what we did. We started doing the drawings and all that stuff. You know, we kind of reversed. We built it, and then we did the drawings, you know. And so he's been here since day one, you know.
Wow, he's still here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we have him chained in the corner. He can't leave.
Yeah. How many employees do you have now?
I think we're at 46 right now.
Wow, jeez.
Well, stay under 50 because things get wacky after that.
You know, that's what they say.
I'm BSing because I don't really know.
I don't think we're going to have much choice as we grow. My goal is actually to get to 100 employees and to produce 100 trucks a year.
Jeez.
So we're at 46 employees. We're probably going to produce close to 40 trucks this year. So we still got a ways to go.
Yeah.
You know, but the facility can handle it.
Right. Oh, right. For
and
sure.
There's how many buildings here? 17?
17 buildings on 18 acres.
Jeez.
Now, granted, a lot of these buildings go back to the 50s.
Oh, sure.
You know.
Well, that's all right. But, you know, as long as the roof don't leak.
Yeah.
It's a massive building.
Well,
building
after
complex.
That rain last night, we're not too sure if the roof leaked or the foundation leaked, but we had a little bit of water.
Might have come in sideways or something.
Yeah.
So, what about, you started to go. You started, engineering had to be a big part of it. And like you say, you built the trucks with, what's his name, Daly?
Jody.
But at some point, you had to you started bringing in more people. Let's say, because I remember that in my businesses, of all is that, geez, we got to get some more people because we're overbooked. We can't do everything,
right.
You know. And,
well, we've tried to do what's called controlled growth.
Right.
Which, from years of experience of being in business, the biggest thing I've seen ever happen to any company is they start business and they can't handle their sales.
Yes.
And instantly they go out of business. So we've tried to control growth. And we've tried to be fairly transparent with our customers that, you know, we can produce it this year. No, we can't produce it this year. You know, I just soon have the customer leave and go buy something else and not be mad at me for lying to them.
Right.
Than the alternative. You know, so we've been pretty much able to control our growth. And the way we've done that is as soon as we get a new employee trained, we immediately hire another one. And we work them into the system so that they've got, you know, probably a year's worth of training before they're set off on their own and assigned their own, you know, workstation.
Station, yeah.
So it makes it a lot easier. There was always somebody there to train them, you know.
See, that was in our business, you know, of course it's a different business, but it's still business. The sound business, there wasn't anything that we would turn down. We tried to do everything, you know, no matter what it was. And sometimes it cost us more to do the jobs than we actually made, you know, and it got pretty crazy, you know, and that's where the more people, and then you get into the, you don't know everybody as well as you thought you did.
Right.
And
I took on jobs at the beginning that I won't take on today, you know. And it's a hard word to learn.
Yes.
And it's the shortest one in the vocabulary, no.
Yeah. Yep.
I had to say no to a guy today that wanted us to build a body for a fire or rescue truck, and, you know, we could do it.
Right.
We have the facility to do anything that you want, but the thing is we can't do it profitable when we're doing one of them.
Right.
You know, we don't want to be a cookie cutter type company where, you know, General Motors says, this is what you get. You have no other choices.
Right.
But on the other hand, you have to stay a certain amount of similarities on things in order to be productive when you make them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's
that's one of the things I've had to learn to say no in the past 10 years a lot, because it's sometimes the wise business decision long term. And then that's long term. You have these long term plans that expand out, help the community. I mean, a lot of your employees are from this area here.
Yeah, most of them actually.
Right, and that's
a good thing.
That's a very good thing.
Well, we're hoping that we'll attract some new people into the town too. There is some real estate available. It'd be nice. You know, my dad told me a long time ago, very wise man. He said, "It's just business.
Right.
Your decisions have to be based upon business, not upon personal desire.
Yes.
And that's a hard thing to do sometimes.
Right.
Keep the motion out. Yeah.
But you have to make emotionless decisions. You really don't have much choice.
Should incorporate that into your love life. Sorry. It's just business.
Yeah. Remember, just remember, it's just business.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that one. You know what? My brain's starting to fry. Let's get any Stevie Nicks in there.
I can bring some Stevie Nicks.
Get that big guitar out there.
Okay. Does Stevie Nicks help your fried brain?
No, it's a guitar. I don't care about her.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Just a guitar player.
She wants her to sing to her than him. That's why.
Oh, I could. Yeah, well, I could care less about her.
Sure.
She's a witch.
Oh, not nice.
No, don't tell her I said that. Yeah, she'll sue me.
Okay. Just like the wild wing dove sings a song, sounds like she's singing.
Oh,
Okay, we're back with Derek D'Angelo, the owner, founder, and operator of Custom Built LLC.
Chief psychiatrist.
Chief psychiatrist, too? Wow.
Some days.
You wear a lot of pants around here.
Yeah, a lot of hats. Come on.
Or hats, I mean.
Always taking it to the lower level, aren't you?
That's influence.
Layers of pants there going on.
Hey, folks, I got to tell you, this is another first we're doing a...
For the real BS show.
Portable. Mobile setup. In other words, we're not in the studio. We're out and about.
Right.
So this is a first for us, and Derek agreed to be the guinea pig.
You didn't tell me I was going to be a guinea pig.
Right.
Well, we didn't want you to have to travel, all that distance. You're important. You got a lot of important things to be doing without messing with us. And I want to say thank you very much for doing this. This is amazing.
No, I'm glad you could find time to work us in, too. We enjoy it.
Oh, geez. That's I was thinking about it for months, ever since the reunion back in whenever that was, July. Yeah, July. I was like, geez, there's the perfect guy right there. So I don't know where we left off. But
I'm on growth, I think.
Growth?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I know from my own experience, growth was we never turned nothing down because the dollar signs were floating there in our face.
Right.
And we tried to do everything. And next thing you know, we're getting an awful lot of people running around, and it just kind of blew up. I mean, it's just it went from a passion for doing something I love to do, mixing sound, running monitors, working with these national acts, presidents, I mean, it was very interesting, but it turned into a paperwork jungle nightmare, and it was just, we got tax audits and all kinds of things. I mean, just, and I was just wondering, did you prepare? I mean, you seem like a lot smarter guy than I am, that's for sure. So did you prepare or have a plan for how you were going to, or where you were going, where was your...
Yeah, pretty much. After being in business for over 30 years, you kind of see these things and what's going to come. And the biggest thing that I had to accept was the fact that I wasn't going to be able to be the one out there doing it anymore. That's a tough adjustment when you're used to working with your hands.
Exactly.
and you're used to getting dirty. I mean, to me, there was a lot of accomplishment there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
satisfaction. Yeah.
The one thing that we did do is we divided everything into departments. And as we gave you the tour table, we're telling you this is the steel weld department, this is the cut department. So each department has its own supervisor. So basically, I only have about 3 or 4 people that answer to me.
Right.
And I don't have to deal with the day to day stuff until there's a problem. Sometimes right. I do think my middle name is, hey, we got a problem, but other than that,
You hear it in your sleep, huh?
Yeah, believe it or not, things go pretty smooth. A lot of people are afraid to grow, and when I started this, I said I'm going to go into it with an attitude of no fear. I think a lot of the decisions that we make in life are fear-driven.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make a decision on, looking at, like my dad always said, it's just business. Looking at the business itself. What can the business do? Not my emotions. Keep that completely out of it. Especially when you're hiring people and you have to let people go, you can't become emotional about that type of stuff.
Right.
You have to keep focused.
Yeah, I remember that.
in the fact of accepting the fact that you're going to get stuck in an office, we have hired people for the office that have different, responsibilities, which made it a lot easier. But, it's still a tough adjustment, but I was willing to take that sacrifice when I got into it, to take a chance to do something different.
It's one of the things I found is fear, uncertainty, and doubt that usually shuts the brain off. The neocortex shuts that off, and then there everything goes downhill after that. And that's
the one thing, for my business and because I didn't care, that was my problem. Maybe right. I didn't care about the money. I cared about the people, and I cared about taking care of them, trying to do the best I could for them so that they enjoyed coming to work. Because I spent my life in factories, so I know what that's like. And it just, I don't know, it was, like you say, from a passion it turned into, I had to hire people just to do payroll,
yeah.
Just to do accounts payable, accounts receivable, make the bank deposits for all the federal withholdings and all the Social Security and, unemployment, and it just, the paperwork piled up like crazy, and then you got the state, and then you're trying to do inventory on, thousands of parts, and it just it took all the fun out of it for me. You know, I just like, whew.
A lot of it's a mindset, though, because it's the same here. We deal with the same thing. It's all how you address it.
Right.
You know, in order to maintain, there's certain things you have to do, and you got to accept that. You know, whether it's you do it yourself or you're hiring somebody to do it. I mean, in order to run a successful business, you have to have the right people in the right places.
Exactly. I was headed towards that direction, you know, teamwork and all that, you know.
And employees really aren't driven by money. I mean, there's been tons of surveys done about it. Employers are driven by sense of accomplishment and sense of self-worth.
Right.
You know, so we do try hard to make sure our employees realize that we appreciate what they do.
Right.
You know, I'm on the floor every day talking to the guys. If they need a hand, I'm not afraid to grab a hold of something and give them a hand with it. You know, and I think that they see that. And it makes a big difference too.
Yeah, I've seen other sound companies where the boss would say, "Geez, it's so hard." And he'd say this right in front of his employees. It's so hard to find good help anymore. And I used to tell him, I said, "You know what? It's pretty hard to find good bosses too."
No doubt.
You know, it's a two-way street. You know, and you get what you give. You know,
right? You gotta have to lead by example too. That's so when you're working on the floor with them, that's definitely picking them up, you know, like, oh, yeah, he's in this with us. You know?
Well, I don't want to think that I'm below anything.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
right,
there's nothing out there that they've done that I haven't done. Right. And we started with two guys. I had to do something at some point.
Right.
You know,
I think this morning you were saying you were at 5:30 this morning working on a part.
Yeah, we were building some cylinders today. Yeah. You know, like I said, I don't even like getting up at 5:30 in the morning. you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
Know?
Right.
Wow. Yeah, that's past me now.
That's almost back to back to the old drinking days when you're getting ready to go to bed. And you just say, "Heck with it, go to work."
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, 5:30. I'm just getting home. Yeah, what the heck?
You know when you hear the birds chirping that you know you screwed up bad.
Yeah.
But so this idea of growth. I mean, I don't know. Can you expand on that?
Well, I guess the biggest thing is, you know, I want to grow it without the fear of, you know, what if things get slower? What if there's another recession?
Right.
To have enough faith, you know, in the business itself that it can self-sustain, you know, and at some point, you know, I want to see my family be able to take it over too, and I'd like to have it pretty well self-sustained when we get to that point too. Whether, you know, there's always bumps in the road.
Right.
You know,
there's
no such thing as smooth sailing. But I really believe that somebody that I've always gone on the philosophy, there's no such thing as failure. And that came from the movie Apollo 13. I love that. Ed Harris stood there and he gave them guys a bag of stuff that they could find on that spaceship. And they said, "You got to make the round peg fit in the square hole." And he said, "Failure is not an option." and that, believe it or not, that really hit me to a point where, you know, people give up too easy.
Yep.
You know, and you don't fail at anything until you quit trying. Edison said, "I can tell you 100 ways not to make a light bulb."
Right.
But he didn't call himself a failure.
He said, you know? I found this is 100 steps to making a light bulb. That's all.
Exactly. You know.
I remember, I'm talking paperwork here. I remember accounts payable, accounts receivable. I mean, there was money flying everywhere. And it got to the, one of the things I wasn't paying attention to was accounts receivable. And when you get dealing with these Hilton hotels and General Electric and all these people, and you're doing these big jobs. I mean, we did churches were $150,000 sound installs. You know, we did Chautauqua Institution up there. That was $150,000. Well, guess what? They weren't paying on time. And guess who gets stuck in the middle? And I got in a real pinch there, and I got everybody together. I says, "We got a problem here, a real problem. We're making money, but I ain't got no cash."
Right.
You know. And I told him, I said, "Folks, I got to do something, and the only way I can get through this is if I lay you all off." I says, "Here's my plan. Everybody, I'm going to lay everybody off. You go down, I'll get the employment office to come up here and sign you all up. But if you keep coming to work," I didn't have to ask them. Matter of fact, the following Monday, they all showed up for work. I says, "Well, I'll tell you what, if you folks keep doing this the way it is, in a month or so when this is all straightened out, I'll pay you your back pay." That was their idea, not mine, matter of fact. They came to work every day just like nothing happened. And we finally got paid, you know, GE and some of these big companies. And Because 90 days to them is nothing, you know.
And no, then, actually, they're pushing 120 anymore, 180.
That's the way they were.
But we don't, believe it or not, we don't deal with that. You know, we don't deal with any of these big companies. We're dealing with individuals. Yeah. You know, we have a strict policy, nothing leaves before it's paid, which you have to.
Yes. Right, right,
you know?
Yes.
And the thing is, you know, everybody's coming here. It's not like I'd go someplace and build something like you were doing.
Right.
So I do have a little bit of control of that, you know. And, you know, I tell them again, it's nothing personal, you know, but we can't survive in business if we don't generate money.
See, that was the part where we just I couldn't say no to any jobs, you know. I mean, when Edinburgh College said, we want a new sound system in our Macomb Fieldhouse. Yeah, you know, boom, right there. Well, guess what? You know, I didn't worry about the money, but that was what got me, you know. I mean, it just took so long to get paid. And we put big discounts on GE and a few other places. And when they saw those paying 30 days to get a 10% discount, they did it.
Yeah, but you're sacrificing 10% of your profit just to get them to
No, you bumped the price by 10%.
Don't say that too loud. They're allowed to be listening.
Oh,
they don't steal your money, do they?
They're about ready to close up there, anyways.
they'll bounce back.
I don't know. It was all. I mean, I'm a kid from Waterford. You know, my dad drank up everything. You know, I mean, I was happy to go swimming and run around in the woods. That was my training. I didn't pay attention in high school. I went to college. I didn't pay attention there either. You know, I just wrestled for a living. That was it. So what do I know about all
still
that
wrestling
stuff?
For a living, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, actually, you know, in any business.
You know me too well.
Yeah. In any business, I mean, there's certain facets you have to have people in charge of. You know, and actually, our accountant does a report every week of basically, you know, what's on the floor, you know, how much deposit has been put down, what's owed to us, and we try to keep a balance there. A dollar balance, and sometimes you got to get on the phone. You got to call people. You got to collect money. That's any business, you know.
Well, I did a lot of that. Ooh.
You know, that's probably my least favorite thing to have to do.
Yeah, it's not fun asking for money.
But you know, believe it or not, I've never had a customer ever be insulted by that.
No,
because they know.
Yeah, you know, they know.
So I think that's just a phobia. That's more of a phobia than anything.
Right. Well, when you're dealing with Hilton hotels and stuff like that, and their offices in Baltimore, someplace. That's you might as well be talking to the wall.
Right, different ballgame.
Whole different thing. And it was just, it killed me. I mean, after a while, about 96, 97, someplace in there, I said, I've had enough of this. I'm out of here. And boom,
Think there's not days that I get out of bed and say, I really don't want to go to work. Come on.
Oh, sure.
You know, we all have those. Yeah. You know?
Well, I don't know. It just looks to me, you know, from a business standpoint, I mean, it just looks so organized and so well put together. And the trucks that come out of here are so beautiful. I mean, just a piece of artwork, you know, and that's what impressed me. That's why I wanted to get you on our show, you know.
I got to give the employees the credit for that. They do take pride in what they do.
Right. Well, it shows. It definitely shows with all the different machines that they have here.
It takes a good boss to, you know, I mean, teamwork is everything, and it takes a good coach to make the team work. I mean, like last night when Philadelphia hit that grand slam in that bottom of the ninth, I couldn't believe it.
I didn't even see it.
It was amazing.
Were they playing Pittsburgh or what?
No, they were playing the Cubs. The Cubs were beating them 5-1.
And they come back?
In the ninth inning, they come back, scored a couple runs haphazardly. Then they loaded up the bases. Harper come up to the plate. One swing, boom. Over the fence. I mean, the place just erupted. And I stayed up late. I knew they were going to lose, but I stayed up late anyways. Boom. And I said, wow, that's the best game I've seen for a long time. You know, it was just, whew. So, okay, we're back to
employees. I was going to make a comment about your employees. When we were at the one last room there where you had the crane putting everything together, I had to take a picture because I was just like, wow, that's really nice. It's the way it's laid out. It's modular. Everything's just like Lego pieces, I guess, you put together. And I just was amazed how efficient that is. And it's the employees' work that they put into it is quite amazing. And
stellar.
Yeah stellar. And that, it's just, especially with everything manufacturing, a lot of manufacturing is not in the United States because of globalization and a lot of automation is starting to happen. Which we can get to later about. I just was blown away by hands-on work like that being still being done in the United States, and doing, you guys doing it efficiently and effectively.
You know, I heard a song. It was a tribute to tow truck drivers.
Yeah.
And I think it was a tribute to maybe some of the guys that died in the line of duty.
Yeah.
Because I know, especially out west, when I see them trucks going down over those mountains, and they stick their life on the line. They're like first responders, you know, same thing.
There's more tow truck drivers killed every year than the policemen and EMS.
Wow, that's crazy.
Well, I saw a tribute to a fallen tow truck driver, and this song was playing, and I'd like to play that song now.
That sounds good.
While we take a break and visit the little boys' room and whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, if you can find that
on it.
Okay,
got it.
A company always on the run, a destiny. Oh, it's the rising sun. I was born a shotgun in my hands. Behind the gun, I'll make my final stand. Yeah, and that's why they call me Bad Company. I can't deny Bad Company. Today I die. Until the
Bad Company, till the day I die.
We're back with Derek D'Angelo from Custom Built LLC in Kane, Pennsylvania, and the builder of the most beautiful tow trucks you'll see anywhere. And Seth's here too, aren't you?
I'm here. I'm here.
There he is. I thought he dozed off for a minute.
We were talking about your past and your present, and we want to kind of go into the future a little bit about where you're heading with this and the legacy that you have and your family, but not just that, but the industry as well, where that's going.
The future, you know, as far as do you have goals set or a plan or whatever, you know, and if you don't want to give it away, I can understand.
Oh, that's okay.
That,
but, no, I guess the future of the industry is kind of a tough one to predict. You know,
right.
I'm still, you know, bouncing back and forth. What's going to be the next big revolution? You know, every industry goes through these peaks.
Yes.
Where something new comes out. And
then new technology. You're always on the lookout for that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You know, but the future of the heavy towing business should be a fairly steady.
Yeah.
Until they find a new way to move freight across this country, there's going to be a lot of trucks going back and forth.
Right, right.
You know, so it's actually been a very lucrative business for most people that are involved with it, because they've had more towing with the newer emissions and all the different things going on with the trucks. You know, the government's forced them to get the emissions down and get the mileage up. And if you ever notice, whenever something new comes out,
there's always problems with it.
So a lot of guys have done pretty well with that, you know. As far as the future of the manufacturing goes, you know, I see us going, we're going to end up going robotic eventually.
Oh, geez, I can believe, imagine that.
And we're going to be forced to it. And that's not because we're trying to cut jobs, because even the robot still involves a guy to run it.
Yes.
Right. So the biggest thing is to find qualified people to work. And when I say qualified people to work, that's not a dig, okay? But I feel that the schools have pushed college so hard.
Yes, not the trades.
Not the trades. Yeah. That I think this country's suffering because of it. And actually, that's something I want to see change. And our school seems to be starting to address the issue to a certain extent. You know, it used to be years ago, if a guy wasn't a good student, you sent him to the technical.
Yeah,
you know,
put him in shop class. Yeah,
and that's not fair. That was really unfair to those people to do that.
Right.
Because, you know, to repair a car today and to do some of the things that we do, you got to be very, very high
skilled.
Very technical,
yeah.
You know, and to think that, you know, those people that are doing that are not high skilled is a very unfair treatment to them.
Oh.
You know, and I've always seen it where, you know, a guy gets his hands dirty, he's less of a person than the guy that wears a suit to work.
Right.
And you know, I respect the guy that wears a suit to work, but I sure as heck respect the guy that gets his hands dirty,
right,
too.
Right. It gets the job done. I mean,
that Mike Rowe has a program going on. I'm not sure if you heard of it. Is Work Smart and Hard.
Yep.
I love that. I had a poster in my office up of it until it got torn, and I want to buy another one and frame it, because I think that's the most perfect example of what job should be, is work smart and hard.
Well, he's actually got some commercials out pushing for the trades too.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I've seen them recently, which is great.
Right.
You know,
But that's the robotics with the automation. That's something that's coming forward. A lot of companies are moving to that. GE's did that with their factory in Erie. When they moved to Texas, they only hired 450 people. They laid off 900 and replaced it down in Texas with 450 only. And that's because they increased the robotics. They increased the automation. And that's a huge drop in employment, you know. But the other aspect of it I see as well coming is you have companies like auto, with trucking, they're taking existing semis, putting automation into them to self-drive. I'm sure that's going to be a technology that has its failures for the next 15 or 20 years.
That scares me to death.
You could sell a lot more tow trucks because of that.
And not to sound like a conspiracy theory whatever, but do you realize that all you'd have to do is have somebody that doesn't like you hack into that system and the whole thing would be chaos?
It concerns me in that realm, because they are talking about having to communicate with each other. And I'm sort of thinking, I develop software for a living. And so we develop systems that integrate with each other with other systems. And my first thought is, how are they going to make this secure? Impossible. How are they going to make it one language that they all communicate on? Because we all speak English, right? We're all speaking English right now, but in computer systems, they have to speak languages. So mm-hmm. How are they going to communicate with each other? It's a little nerving in that regard for the security and for the long term. Somebody will try it. A 14-year-old in their home would try it.
Oh, yeah. And they'll probably accomplish it. That's the scary part.
Yes. Yeah. but that's something that I see coming forward, but I don't think that would hurt your business in the long term. Some eyes are going to still need, they'll break
it
down.
It might help your business.
And in a lot of ways, it probably might make it better.
You'll have less accidents where, you know, the guys that are driving your guys' trucks, they'll have less situations in the middle of a highway trying to pull them out. They might have a truck that's broke down the side of the road that needs to be hauled, you know, that kind of thing. But
well, when I was out west, mm-hmm. and I traveled around a whole bunch because I loved it out there. I just loved seeing everything, and I didn't have to work. When them planes hit the buildings, I said, that's it, I'm done, I'm not working anymore. And I got in a motorhome, and I just drove and went here, there, everywhere. Took Hallie with me, and the accidents,
yes.
and the trucks that I saw down over these, you know, ravines and down through the woods, and I mean, there must have been screwballs driving them trucks because it's snowing so hard you couldn't see, and they're just blowing by me like, it's, you know, I mean, where are these guys from? But what I also saw was the tow truck drivers sticking their necks out.
Jeez, yes.
While these people are blowing by them, and they're out there trying to, you know, help, trying to you know, get this truck out of trouble. And you know, it was just, now in your professional opinion, or you're, you know, you've been around this business, so have very many, like I say, they're first responders, just like everyone else. Have you known of many bad accidents where tow truck drivers didn't make it home?
Oh yeah, a lot of them. Mm. Not too many personal friends, you know, but right. I've had some personal friends that lost employees, you know, right. and it's tough. Like I said earlier, there's more tow truck drivers killed on the side of the highway than state police and EMS and road workers. Mm-hmm. I mean, the biggest thing is they're out at all hours of the night.
Right.
They're not out just during the day. Yeah. You know, and I'm not putting down anybody else that gets hurt on the highway by any stretch of the imagination, but at night it gets worse.
Right.
People are tired when they're driving. They're distracted easier. You know, and sometimes the lights and stuff just have a tendency to draw them in. Mm. You know, so it's a very dangerous business. And I mean, there's guys that don't make it home.
I mean, I know what that's like working for the, you know, like in Alabama when I worked in those foundries. When I first started there, I got calls all night long because they didn't want nothing to stop, you know. So when something did stop, they only had one person to call. That was me. I was the electrical guru there. Well, in Alabama, I don't think they could even read and write, you know. It was amazing. But anyways, I can imagine how many tow truck drivers get that call in the middle of the night, and they got to get up and go, you know, even especially the wintertime, you know, it's just, they must cringe, you know, but they do it.
It's a way of life, you know, it's not a job, it's a way of life.
So the most of them aren't married then.
Well, I tell you what, the ones that are, I have a lot of respect for their wives, let's put it that way.
Right. You might have caused a lot of divorces. Huh?
You see the advertisement, it'll say 23 and a half hours. I'm like sitting thinking, they're only sleeping a half hour. I mean, just that's crazy.
Yeah, there's some of those.
Oh, technically, if you advertise 24-hour towing, you have to go.
Oh.
And that's why they do.
Oh, I see. That's smart.
No, we're on our half-hour break right now.
Mental note.
I can't go. I'm on my half-hour break. Just happens to be at 4:30 a.m.
Yeah, right. Well, I was digging around and I found, I mean, we probably pestered you long enough. Is there any final thoughts you might want?
Well, I thought I was getting paid by the hour.
Oh, no. Jeez, we'd be here for 10 hours.
Do you have a website? We could plug your website in.
Yeah, it's very easy. It's custombuiltmfg.com.
Nice.
Manufacturing?
Yeah, MFG is a manufacturing. Yeah.
Custombuiltmfg.com. Gotcha.
All right. That's even I can remember that one.
Yeah.
That's saying something. Well, I was thumbing through some of this stuff, and I found this tribute, and maybe we can end the show this way.
Okay.
A tribute to the tow truck drivers that lost their lives. And did you got that?
Yeah.
Maybe we could play that and end the evening. Derek, thank you so much. I mean,
this is
a thrill for me.
Well, I enjoyed it, too.
I know, you know. You're probably bored to death, but...
and I appreciate you doing a tribute to the drivers that have lost their lives, you know.
Yeah.
And all their families.
Nobody thinks of that, I'm sure. I'm sure of it. I've never heard it anywhere, you know. I just had to dig around to find it. And
I want to say thank you for having us show us around your factory and everything.
It's
just very amazing, you know. And we didn't see it all. That's the crazy part, you know.
You saw most important.
Yeah, the important parts.
The top secret stuff I couldn't show.
Yeah, right.
The bunker stuff.
The secret lab. All right, Seth. Well, if you got that, let's say goodnight to everybody. And thank you, Derek. Thank you, Seth, pushing all them buttons.
I push the buttons.
And we'll end this with a tribute to the fallen tow truck drivers.
I became involved in the towing and recovery industry in 1990, and I remember how much I was awed and humbled by many of the people I met. These men and women from around the world who daily are willing to risk their lives to help the general motoring public. And I always believed in the importance of the professional towing operator as an integral part of the first response team, the responders that come when the general public is in need. Along with the firefighters and the police officers, these are your first respondent teams. A lot of people don't realize that, but they are.
Today to see you. Oh, I had to let you know. If I knew the last time that I held you was the last time, I'd have held you and never let go. Oh, it's kept me awake nights wondering. Lie in the dark, just asking why. I've always been told you won't be called home until it's your time. I guess heaven was needing a hero, somebody. Stand up for what you believe and follow it through. When I try to make it make sense in my mind, the only conclusion I come to is a heaven. Just be void. No matter how much I need you now, heaven needed you more. 'Cause a heaven was needing a hero, somebody just like you.
This memorial, the Wall of the Fallen as it's called, will honor those towing operators who have lost their lives in the line of duty. I'm proud to be part of the towing recovery industry, as I know each of you are, and I believe the establishment of this memorial is an important step in the gaining of public recognition and respect for the towing and recovery professional so deserves.